Welcome to Ancient Future Faith with Dr. Chris Alford, pastor of Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community in Sacramento. Just what is ancient future Christian faith? Join Chris each week as he talks with special guests about a refreshing renewal in evangelical worship and spirituality that's helping many believers get in touch with their ancient Christian heritage. Now, with another look at how the road to the evangelical future runs through the ancient past, here's Dr. Chris Alford.
Da 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 da. All that music always makes me so happy, and I'll bet it does for our special guest today, Dr. Teresa Gardner. Hi, Teresa. Thank you for joining us and coming back again to the Ancient Future Faith Studios. How are you?
I am wonderful, Chris. Thank you. And yes, I am happy when I hear that music, but I'm happier because I get to join your wonderful listeners and community as we share together.
Oh, so
thank you for having me.
It's just always a pleasure. You're a dear heart. Teresa Gardner is my friend, I'm proud to say, most of all, also a colleague and a graduate of the Institute for Worship Studies in Florida. And that's where we met Teresa. She runs the Zion Center for Worship and the Arts in Charlotte, North Carolina. And we've been pals for a long time and contributors and colleagues on several projects, haven't we, Teresa?
Yes, and they've all been great, and I'm looking forward to this one.
Oh, me too. Folks, we're talking about a wonderful retreat, October 21st and 22nd. That's Friday and Saturday at the beautiful Christ the King Retreat Center. And Teresa is going to be not only our guest speaker and teacher, she's also bringing dancers with her from the Zion Center for Worship and the Arts, and she's making a kind of return to Sacramento after having been with us for what was a wonderful retreat titled Finding Jesus in the Tabernacle. Boy, that was a good one, wasn't it, Teresa?
It was excellent. It was superb, Chris, and I mean that sincerely.
Teresa and I had the privilege of leading an intrepid group of folks to Israel a couple of years ago, and from that experience, we thought, man, it would really be good to show folks who don't get the chance to go to Israel how so much of our Christian experience is rooted in the Jewish Jesus and the Bible and the Holy Land. And so we did Finding Jesus in the Tabernacle. This fall, Teresa, Finding Jesus in the Feasts. And by the way, I understand that you have yet another trip to Israel planned, and when this October retreat rolls around, you will have just been in Israel celebrating Feast of Tabernacles, yes?
Lord willing, yes, that is my plan.
You will probably have a lot of jet lag when you get here to Sacramento.
I don't know. I'll be pretty excited, Chris. I'm really looking forward to celebrating the feast again. This will be the 40th anniversary for the International Christian Embassy's celebration of the Christian celebration of the Feast of Tabernacles. I think you know I was involved with them for many, many years, and I'm looking forward to this time together, most importantly, to worship our Lord in the city of the great King, Jerusalem.
Yeah.
So, hallelujah.
Oh. Yes, indeed. Well, folks, we are talking today in the second of a trio of conversations about the retreat called Finding Jesus in the Feasts, coming in October on the 21st and 22nd, that's Friday and Saturday, at Christ the King Retreat Center. In our last program, Teresa, you and I talked about the first session of that retreat, which will focus on Passover. In this conversation, we want to focus on the second feast that we're going to be looking at in the retreat, which is Pentecost, which is also chock full of wonderful meaning, yes?
Absolutely.
Now, Teresa, you have taught for years on these feasts, and the neat thing for me is that you are also bringing some extra help for this retreat. What kind of things do you have in mind for this section of the retreat on Pentecost, and anything else you'd like to share with us about the wonderful, wonderful celebration of the Feast of Weeks?
Absolutely, and you're right. It does have several names, just like some of the feasts do have different references to them in Scripture. Actually, in the Bible, it would be called Shavuot in the Old Testament, and then we get to the Greek translation, and it becomes Pentecost, mm-hmm. which we know means 50. Let me back up one second, Chris, that we didn't mention this last time, and it's very important to our understanding of Shavuot or Pentecost.
Yeah.
I may use those interchangeably.
Sure.
But the spring festivals or feast, we have the Passover, we have unleavened bread, and then we have something that's called the Feast of First Fruits. Mm-hmm. It's important to understand that that happened Right after the Sabbath, and when the sheaf was waved before the Lord as a first fruit. Why is that important? Because that correlates to the day of the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the day after the Sabbath. And it tells us in Corinthians that Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. So it's important that we understand that it was 50 days from this first fruits until Shavuot, or what we call Pentecost.
Right.
It was 50 days from the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ to the day of Pentecost. Because again, God's timing, when God first presented these feasts to his people, these seven feasts to reveal the meaning and nature of his eternal plan for his people, it's very important that we understand God has an order. He fulfills his word. He fulfills his promises. And again, we see in Shavuot this exact fulfillment to the day of the pouring out of the Spirit. And because when we say Pentecost, what do we think of? What do you think of?
Well, I think of, I guess the most obvious is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and the birthday of the church.
Absolutely. But think of God's timing. It says in Acts 2, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all together in one place. You had staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. Why? Because they were gathered to come celebrate one of the three feasts that they were required to come to each year. Now, Jesus had appeared for 40 days, and then what does he say? He says, wait for the promise of the Father. You've heard from me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Not many days, like 10, that's my answer, not many days from now, and you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, to the ends of the earth. So this promise, again, was completely fulfilled right on time through Jesus, because who sent the Holy Spirit? Jesus first had to be exalted and glorified, and then the Holy Spirit would be sent. So Jesus had to be received back into heaven, then the Holy Spirit would come. So, I mean, again, every detail lines up from God's first instructions back in Exodus and Leviticus to when Jesus perfectly is seen as the fulfillment of this particular feast as well by sending the Holy Spirit.
Folks, you're listening to an interview with Dr. Teresa Gardner. She's my friend and also the director and founder of the Zion Center for Worship and the Arts in Charlotte, North Carolina. She is going to be coming to Sacramento Christian Community, and this is open to you to lead us in a wonderful retreat coming on October 21st and 22nd. That's a Friday and Saturday, called Finding Jesus in the Feasts. I mentioned in our last program, Teresa, where we were focusing on Passover, and we're going to be looking at three of the feasts at this retreat in October, that you have been to Israel, well, I said as a joke, 187 times, but it's almost 50 you're coming up on. And folks, listen, this is a world of knowledge and insight and experience that you're going to want to take part of. I want you to circle October 21st and 22nd on your calendars. The cost, it includes delicious lunch and a visual and experiential opportunity that you're just not ever going to forget. Teresa, Pentecost will be the second feast that you concentrate on. And I'm just wondering if there are two or three sort of main nuggets about Pentecost that you'd want folks to hang on to and be thinking about as we are preparing for the retreat. What would they be? What are the two or three most important bits for you?
Well, I think that, first of all, the feast are referred to as the Feast of the Lord. We need to remember that these are God's feast, and he gives them to invite his people to in order to know him and to understand what he's done for them. I expect that to happen, Chris, when we meet in October. I really, really do. You know, God loves it when we seek him. And he's more ready to reveal than we are to receive.
Yes.
I really believe that. And so he's just longing for us to come together. But I think those three things, I think this outpouring of the Holy Spirit, which, again, I need to say something. Tongues of fire seems like a very unusual manifestation for us.
Right.
It was not considered. I mean, they were familiar with this because on Mount Sinai, it's believed that they saw not just heard the voice of God, but they saw the voice of God as tongues of fire. So this is not a completely new concept.
Wow.
For Jewish people. I know. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
So these tongues of fire. Okay. So there's the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. But as all of the feasts, the main feasts, they were harvest feast. They were given as harvest. And this harvest is a little different. There was a barley harvest. Now we're at the beginning of the wheat harvest. Now for us, that doesn't mean a whole lot.
Right.
But this is significant. One of the main events for this Shavuot, Pentecost harvest, was this lifting up of two loaves of bread, wheat bread with leaven, which is the exact opposite of what we heard about during the Feast of Unleavened
bread.
And so these are waved before the Lord. Now, I'm just going to cut to what people believe that represents to us today, that these two loaves of bread represent Jew and Gentile. Because in this new covenant, in this new harvest, you know, Peter stands up on that day of Pentecost and says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's no longer just for the Jewish people. Now, as you said, it was the birth of the Jewish nation at Mount Sinai. Now it's the birth of the church, where all are welcome, all are seen as clean before the Lord when they come through Jesus Christ. So this is also a feast of where we recognize the one new man, as it speaks of in Ephesians and also in Corinthians. Mm-hmm. It's new because we have experienced the death and resurrection and salvation of our Lord and Savior. So it's a new harvest. You know, isn't Pentecost the longest period in the church year, the season?
Yes, all the way through the fall to the beginning of Advent, culminating in Christ the King Sunday.
Christ, which is one of my favorite.
Me too.
But you have this long season where it's God's will that no one should perish, but that all would come to a saving knowledge. So this is definitely a season of harvest. So I think that's one thing that we should look at, and that God, through Jesus Christ, has made it possible for everyone, Jew, Gentile, which is like non-Jew, anyone and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. One other thing that I will be looking at as we gather on that Saturday morning, for the Jewish people, they equate Pentecost with the giving of God's Torah, the law, the instructions on Mount Sinai. Well, that was also seen as a betrothal time.
Yes, because that's something that you had mentioned in our last interview that I wasn't entirely familiar with. Talk more about that, would you?
Yes, I will. I love this. So the Jewish people believe that these giving, and you know, Torah, the law, really means teachings and instructions. These were God's instructions on how they could be his people, and as we see, how they could be his bride. Now, there's part of a Jewish wedding that the marriage contract is called the ketubah, which list the things that the groom promises to do to care for his bride.
It's covenant. Covenant, isn't it?
Yeah. Covenant. That's exactly right. Well, they see what happened on Mount Sinai as this covenant of marriage between God and his people.
Right.
One other thing I just need to point out about the traditional Jewish wedding is that once the groom and the young woman agreed, he would go away, but he would leave gifts to take care of her until he returns. Now, I think, you get this.
So what gifts
did the Lord leave with us until he comes back for us again? Well, I think one of these is certainly the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is with us always and is revealing more and teaching us more about our relationship with the Lord. And the gifts, plural, of the Holy Spirit, these are to care for us until he comes back again. So that's all can be part of that comparison to the Jewish wedding tradition. So what is this for? Well, in Revelation, we see blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb, the marriage feast of the Lamb. And what does it say? And the bride has made herself ready.
Yes.
So this is a season for us as the bride of our Lord to be preparing ourselves to be with him forever. It's a time for us to be witnesses to him, to be part of his harvest, and also for us to be prepared to be with him forever.
Hallelujah. So, You know, I'm thinking about those precious disciples, particularly through the Upper Room Discourse, when Jesus is preparing them for the notion, I'm not going to be here, I'm going away, it's good for you that I go away. I can imagine how incredibly, well, sad and confusing and frustrating and confounding that must have been. They could not have imagined, I suppose, that there could be a greater gift than the physical presence of Jesus himself. And yet, as you described it a minute ago, the Holy Spirit is a wonderful gift, the ultimate gift in many, many ways. And so I love the fact that we're going to focus on that at this retreat. Folks, we're talking about a retreat coming to Sacramento, October 21 and 22. And listen, friends, it's open to anybody who wants to come. We're at the beautiful Christ the King Retreat Center. The fee includes a delicious lunch, and you can get all the information about the retreat at the Epiclesis website. Now, you're going to want to go to epiclesis.org. That's spelled E-P-I-C-L-E-S-I-S.org. Right there on the front page is a picture of our retreat called Finding Jesus in the Feasts. Our very special guest will be Dr. Teresa Gardner, who's on the phone with me today talking about the retreat. Teresa, one of the things I'm really looking forward to in this retreat is not only your teaching, because you've, as I said before, been to the Holy Land 187 times. I'm looking forward to that. But you're also bringing some very special friends with you from Charlotte and the Zion Center for Worship and the Arts. Talk a little bit about that, please, because I'm certain that that's going to be something that people really look forward to and want to see and experience for themselves.
Well, think of when God created us, Chris, he didn't create us to just hear. He created us to see. He gave us senses to experience. My hope is that in this weekend retreat where we find Jesus, our wonderful Lord and Savior, in the feast, how he is the fulfillment of these feasts, that we will not just hear, but we will see, and that we will experience his presence in many, a multifaceted way. So we have a team of 10, and I have to tell you, there are even some other people that are wanting to come from this area just to come.
Great.
To the retreat.
Wonderful.
Because they're very excited about it. So let's say this isn't just for Sacramento. So we have a team of worship dance artists, worship dancers. I call them dance ministers because they're ministering really the word of God through movement so that we can see the sights of God. We want to hear the sounds of God. We want to hear his word. But, you know, God has created us to also see. And I believe that we'll all be involved in some way in offering ourselves to the Lord, because these feasts were times to receive from the Lord, but were also times to bring thanksgiving offerings for what God has done. So I have these worship dancers that are very excited about coming, and we're starting rehearsals in the next couple of weeks, actually. So we'll be ready for that.
If somebody's listening to this and wondering, okay, what are dancers going to do at a retreat? Can you just describe, at least in general terms, the kind of things they will be doing?
Yes, they'll be interpreting some of the message of the different feasts. And actually, when we get to the third feast, the Feast of Tabernacles, which is the Saturday afternoon part, interspersed with the teaching, there will be this narrative and visual presentation through spoken word and through dance movement that tells the story of the Feast of Tabernacles. So yes, the dancers will be dancing the word of God, which I have to say, in my years of study on this, that's not unusual. We don't see it
when we read
it, mm-hmm. but it's there. Drama and dance are in the word of God. So we're truly praising God's name with dancing. And I want to say they just want to bring honor and glory to the Lord through their gift of dance. Does that help?
Oh, it does.
Yeah. We're trying to make a visual presentation mm-hmm. as well as an audible presentation. Mm-hmm.
Yes, I'm thinking about our retreat titled Finding Jesus in the Tabernacle, Teresa. And one of the things that supplemented it so well was that we actually built life-size models of the wilderness tabernacle for our special guest, Ben from Israel, to interact with as he was teaching. We're going to do some very similar things in this retreat. We will, for example, have a sukkah or a tabernacle for people to look at and learn from. We will have a visual display of what the upper room would have looked like, and for the Feast of Passover with Jesus and the disciples. So there'll be some really wonderful things to look at as well as interact with, especially for the dance ministers that you're bringing. So folks who went to the retreat titled Finding Jesus in the Tabernacle will remember those beautiful set pieces. Now, folks, we're gearing up, and I want you to really lean in and listen to this. We're gearing up for a follow-up retreat coming this fall to Sacramento on October 21st and 22nd called Finding Jesus in the Feasts.
God teaches us through the visual. We see that throughout Scripture, the Lord revealed himself through visual representations. And so he teaches us through what we see. And so that's one of the reasons that we want to help present these opportunities for people to see the settings that these feasts occurred in and what was God trying to teach us. So yes, there will be some beautiful different settings throughout the room as we learn about Jesus in the feast.
So, Teresa, in our just remaining few moments, would you just give a thumbnail sketch, a broad overview of what the whole retreat will be comprised of? So just give us an idea about what folks are going to experience overall. It's Friday night. It's not an overnight retreat, by the way, folks. It's a session Friday night, then a session Saturday morning, lunchtime, and then afternoon. Give us just kind of a broad overview, would you?
I sure will. And let me mention, too, I want us all to understand we're just not doing what God first said about these feasts. We are really bringing it through the fulfillment of Jesus Christ. And what do these feasts mean for us today? Friday night, we will gather. We will introduce Shabbat, but then we'll really focus on those first three feasts, primarily the Feast of Passover. Jesus is the Lamb of God. And then after we've experienced the fulfillment of Jesus' resurrection and what that means for our lives, we come back on Saturday morning to receive and to understand what Shavuot, Pentecost, means. And then Saturday afternoon, after we've had that delicious lunch, we'll celebrate that feast that is to be fulfilled, that final feast of ingathering, of harvest, of all the nations coming to the Lord, and where we'll be worshiping the Lord forever and ever and ever.
And this really is a gift in many ways for the whole Christian community.
I pray they will come, Chris. I really want to invite everyone to come because I believe it's not a denominational message. This is a message of God's love and plan for our lives. And I think we will all learn from this and be blessed by this. You know, I just want to remind us of that scripture in Psalm 89. It says, "Blessed are the people who know the joyful sound, who understand and appreciate the spiritual blessings symbolized by the feast. They walk, O Lord, in the light and favor of your countenance."
Teresa Gardner, thank you so much for joining us today.
It's my pleasure, Chris. I can't wait for us to come together to celebrate the feast.
Folks, you've been listening to an interview with Teresa Gardner, and she's coming to Sacramento Friday and Saturday, October 21 and 22, for a wonderful retreat called Finding Jesus in the Feasts. Again, you can find all the information on the website, epiclesis.org, epiclesis.org. Now, until we gather again for another episode of Ancient Future Faith, I want you to be thinking about this. Surely the road to our evangelical future does run through our ancient Christian past. Until next time, the Lord be with you.
Thank you for joining us for another look at Ancient Future Faith. There is a refreshing wind of renewal blowing through the evangelical church as more and more worshipers turn for inspiration to the rich language and pattern of the ancient church, and they're rediscovering classic Christianity and learning to draw strength from a deep well of time-tested truth and tradition. Want to experience Ancient Future Faith for yourself? Join us for worship at Epiclesis in Sacramento on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. in the chapel at 4600 Winding Way. You can contact us by calling 916-572-9113 or online at epiclesis.org. That's 916-572-9113 or on the web at epiclesis.org.
Hi folks, it's Pastor Chris with one more word before we sign off. The long season after Pentecost is the perfect time to experience worship at Epiclesis, or maybe jump into a small group. There's always something happening at Epiclesis, and we'd love to have you be a part of it. Think about joining us for worship this summer. You'll be warmly welcome. As always, find more information on the web at epiclesis.org. That's EPICLESIS.org. The Lord be with you, and see you next Monday afternoon at 4 p.m. for another edition of Ancient Future Faith.